the commissioner, Jonathan Harris, commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Consumer Affairs, with the two of us here this morning. Good morning. Good morning, commissioner. How are you?
I'm excellent. Good morning, Brad. Dan, I've been listening to this, the green team here. Another example of the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. Collectively. I like it.
Well, we enjoy it. We've been together a long time, actually.
Yeah.
When it comes right down to it, not on the air like this, but
I remember doing the afternoon show.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So we are together here in the morning. Now, we by the way, if any of you have a question for the commissioner, 1-888-574-2723 is our telephone number. And
should we go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go right.
Commissioner, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go to Scott in Hartford. Scott, good morning.
Hi, Commissioner. Good morning. Thank you. I just want to applaud the state for having the medical marijuana program that does a great service. As a medical professional, a caregiver, and patient of this program, a lot of good comes about. I see a lot with patients and talk to them and help them. However, one of the issues that has been plagued with this program is the turnaround time of applicants are waiting approximately 3 to 6 weeks or 3 to 5 weeks on their certification after the doctor certifies them, which in fact this is a pharmaceutical platform that, you know, traditionally you go to the doctor, you get your script, you got it filled within an hour. And this program, this delay impacts patients of this program that are searching for help that need it drastically. And I'm just looking, you know, the state's had 3 years to work on this program to iron out the bugs. And I understand a new program, but
What is your question?
What is my question is that do you foresee a change in this program of certifying patients that lose 6 weeks of their certification and on the turnaround time that, you know, and that's not right. If it was your loved one that is looking for help and needs help, they have to wait 6 weeks to get their medical card and to get help.
Okay, let's have the commissioner address that, Scott.
Is there relief in this?
Let's have him address this. Okay, well, thank you for the call.
Scott, thank you. Very, very good question. Yes, we do have the nation's first really pharmaceutical medical-based program that is doing a lot of good there. Another healthcare alternative for patients with really, really serious debilitating conditions to make with their physician, with their pharmacist, with healthcare professionals. It's not really growing pains, actually. The problem has been, well, first of all, the 6 weeks is not, that must be an outlier because it's actually on average 10 to 15 business days from the time that a doctor certifies you and gets all of the paperwork into the system, because we have to have certain things under law in the system, to the time that you get your actual card or initially an email letter saying that you can have access to the medicine. That's not acceptable. I'm not trying to defend that. It's reality. And here's what the reason is, and here's what we're trying to do about it. When the program was started, there was a fund. So all of the money that you would spend, or $75 of the $100, on getting registered went to the medical marijuana fund. That was being used to ramp up with staff, with technology, with what we needed to be able to meet the demand. We started with about 1,400 patients a little over 2 years ago when medicine went online. We get over 100 new patients every week. It is now 15,136 patients as of yesterday. It's tough to keep up. Now, that money was taken away a couple years and put to the general fund. So all of our plans to ramp up to do that have gone by the wayside. I personally think that it's an immoral tax on sick people when they're paying into a program, but it's going to pay for other things, not for
a general fund, boy.
But that's one point. But what we're doing is even though we're down last year alone 30 people through retirement and a death, and about 10 to 15 the year before, cut about 25%, we have tried to redirect staff there. to be able to meet the demand. We've changed some of the technology to meet the demand. I've learned how to actually register patients, and on Saturdays I'll go in and I'll pick off a few of them. One of the delays is that under the current system, there is a card with a picture. We are looking at getting rid of the picture because actually cropping the picture and doing that extra work that law enforcement wanted initially, that takes extra time. We think we can cut back on that. So we have a lot of different strategies to get it back to, you know, 5 days or less. But it is a problem. I agree with you. Not quite as bad as you say, but we're working on it.
Well, let's take us through the process, because there are some people under the notion you go to the doctor, he writes out a prescription,
yeah,
and you can get medical marijuana.
Yeah,
that's
right
not
away.
The case at all, right?
Right. We are not. You cannot prescribe. In this state, you get certified, and I'll tell you why. Because the federal government still does not recognize any medical value to the cannabis. The federal government considers it Schedule One, like heroin and other really bad drugs. Connecticut, under law, has made it Schedule II, meaning it is still highly regulated, like other opioids, painkillers, other serious pharmaceuticals, but we recognize medicinal value. But because there is the federal prescribing license, you can't prescribe it, or that might threaten a physician, an APRN's license on the federal level. So right now we have 22 debilitating conditions for adults, cancer, ALS, MS, AIDS, I mean, really serious diseases. And you go to a doctor that you have a bona fide physician-patient relationship with after a medically reasonable assessment, and the doctor determining that the benefits outweigh the detriments, he certifies you, yes, you have this debilitating condition. Then you have to go, with the doctor's help, usually you go online, and the dispensaries also will help. That's the secure pharmacies that dispense the medicine can help you, you know, download your picture, show that you're a Connecticut resident, you know, show that you're over 18 to get access to those debilitating conditions, and then we produce a credential. So that's the process that goes.
It takes a long time, though. How come it takes so long?
Because it's processing work. It's for every time you get something in, you have to look at it, make sure that everything is there, that it's valid. You have to, you know, crop the picture. You have to do all of the steps that it takes to get somebody their credential and ultimately their card.
And then the patient has to pay a fee.
The patient pays a $100 registration
fee. Okay. And the money was originally designated for what again?
It was originally put into a medical marijuana account that we had within our agency that we could use for the program. But the legislature and the budget a couple years ago, they took that fund away. So
what would you have used the money for?
We actually had planned that as the demand grew, as the amount of patients grew, we would staff more people there. We've had to sort of triage to get enough people to be able to do these registrations. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to the point where the commissioner, me, the deputy commissioner, and other people learned how to do it so that we could try to do a few each week, a couple hours here, a couple hours there, all hands on deck to try to get it done. So there is that.
So it's a problem.
It is. Well, it's a problem.
It's a staffing problem.
Staffing problem.
And there's also, we're trying to attack it from the technological point of view and just trying to simplify the process. Like, everything that we're trying to do, we want to protect public health and safety. That's first and foremost. Or avoid significant economic harm to businesses and consumers. Put all of our energy into that. And so you try to simplify what you do, your processes, to make it happen. We've gotten this down to below 10 business days, so under 2 weeks, but then you'll get a huge spike up in demand. We've added new conditions, more people coming in, and so it sort of ebbs and flows, and you have to monitor. It'll never be instantaneous, and it's, unfortunately, not like a prescription. It's a highly regulated pharmaceutical model, but it is a different animal in some ways. So there will always be some delay. Our goal is to get that down as low as possible. When people are signing up again, because every year you have to register, we urge them to get recertified and get their paperwork in early so it avoids that gap. So there are things that people can do also to help make sure that they have access to the medicine.
How many approximately do we have that are on this now?
As of yesterday morning, 15,136 patients, and it grows by about 100 a week.
Now, in other words, you have to register, you have got to pony up that $100 every year.
Yes.
Okay. A mother in Stonington the other day said that her 7-year-old son's life is being saved because he's on liquid marijuana. So how has that worked since, and I guess it started on the first, since the children
yes.
are now able to be on marijuana?
Minors, it's much more strict. There are only 6 conditions. They're not allowed to vaporize or smoke the medicine. Although I'll tell you, the percent of adults that are smoking the flower is going down and down and down and down as the innovation on the ground with the pills, the gel, you know, the gel caps, the sublinguals like Listerine strips, topical oils, edibles are out there. But this might be a case where there's a severe epilepsy, which is one of the conditions for kids. It's been shown, and these are not medicines that get you high. THC, the hallucinogenic component, is only one of 85 chemicals in the plant. And so a lot of the medicines are other cannabinoids, the other parts of this plant that don't get you high. This isn't Cheech and Chong. Sometimes just some eye drops for kids with severe epilepsy.
Wow.
They'll go from seizing dozens of times a day down to, you know, a handful a week.
Do you know how many have registered children at this stage? I know it just started, but do you have a number on that?
Yeah, children, it's under 20 now.
Under 20.
I mean, it's growing. We didn't expect to have a lot because there are limited conditions.
Right.
And, you know, thankfully, there are not that many children that right now need it. I mean, there are a lot in many ways, but it's not compared to the adults and the amount of conditions.
And they've got to pay the same amount fee-wise?
Yes. And they have to have, in addition to having one physician certify, for children, for minors, they have to have their primary care physician, usually a pediatrician, an expert in the particular disease, the condition, also sign off on it, and of course their parent or guardian be the caregiver.
The commissioner, our special guest this morning, and we're going to bring him back in just a couple of minutes. We've got a money report coming up, Dan. But again, you know something, when you talk about this, you don't realize how bad it really is.
No.
You really, really don't. We'll be right back.
The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
8:52, 8 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. Very interesting this morning with a commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Consumer Affairs, Jonathan Harris, and all of this talk about pot. You know, when you stop to think of this, Dan, and the number of people and young people now starting, where is this going to lead?
You know,
I mean, it's really something.
We had a great conversation off the air during the break with the commissioner about what the dispensaries have to go through, the process of growing the marijuana. Unlike some states, you cannot grow marijuana plants in your home if you've got the card. How about the money? Because the federal government looks down on this as being illegal. These dispensaries, what do they do with the money? Do the banks handle this money? How does that work?
Well, actually, under the current administration, and we think this will continue, we hope it will, the Attorney General issued what was known as the Cole Memo. There's some other things that basically said that if you're acting within a valid state program, the federal government will take a hands-off approach. Mm-hmm. And we really have not had interference from the federal government.
But will the banks take the money from these dispensaries?
But that has been a challenge. There is too much cash still in the business, and that's one of the reasons, one of the additional reasons why it's a highly secure environment that they work in. There's anecdotal information that around some of these dispensaries, because of all the cameras and the way they do business, there's lower crime in the area than from when they...
Yeah, I could imagine that.
But that is, there's a lot of innovation going on the ground. There are people working around that problem. There are banks that actually will, you know, state chartered banks, community banks, there are some banks that will actually deal with these businesses, but at times they're high fees to be able to do that, to cover the risk. So that is a problem that will have to be worked out in time. And ultimately, when the federal government, and this is bipartisan, there was a bill last year with Rand Paul and Cory Booker and Kristen Gillibrand. I know several conservative senators, from like one from North Carolina, they support medical cannabis.
Yes, that's
people.
I find that too.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's bipartisan. I think that people have to start in Washington and elsewhere getting together and getting done the things they agree on.
Did you think this was going to develop into something like this?
I knew it was something that was special that Commissioner Rubenstein and my Deputy Michelle Siegel set up, but the growth in it and the way, the innovation, the jobs that it's created, and the health care it's provided, mother on with MS that was basically not able to function as a wife, as a mother, with this medicine now is a person again.
That's amazing.
That really is.
There are people, the other thing, benefit of it, is it isn't, and this is the St. Francis study, it's an alternative to opioids. So we have this opioid epidemic that's killing people left and right, including my brother-in-law 5 years ago. And it is an alternative for pain and some other things that opioids and painkillers are used. It is not addictive like that. You do not overdose on this medicine. We see it anecdotally that people have gotten off of opioids. But there's a study that came out of the 17 states that had medicinal cannabis in 2013, the prescribing of opioids and painkillers went down. So it's another tool in the fight against the opioid epidemic.
Can Connecticut's system be in the vanguard of how states adopt medicinal marijuana?
Yeah, I think not only can it, Dan, it is. We get called all the time to ask about how our pharmaceutical model works, how it's regulated. And our challenge, in addition to the good one, the important question that Scott brought up about turnaround time to get people their card and access to the medicine they need, is where were we too strict at the beginning because we needed to get acceptance? It was a brave new world when we started it in 2012. And where can we lighten up, deregulate it, make it a little bit more accessible without, you know, losing the security of what I would argue is the most highly secure system in the country also?
Well, you have done, Jonathan, really, and I told you this when you first came in, you've done a tremendous job on this. There's no question about it that it is now acceptable. And I know that Dan and myself, we both feel that this has been a tremendous plus for those who are suffering.
We were going to talk about weight loss programs, and this was so educational.
I know.
I hope it was educational for our audience. I learned a lot today.
So did I.
Yeah.
So did I.
Mm-hmm. If you ever want to take a tour, I can allow people into dispensaries or into a producer. You can see how it's done, the innovation. It's very educational. It's amazing.
Boy, that would be great.
We'll take you up on that very soon, by the way. Absolutely.
The two of us.
Brad, you bet.
Huh?
Yeah.
To do a broadcast?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You want to do a broadcast?
I want.
Brad wants to do a broadcast.
We'll get in there. No, but this is important stuff.
Very, it's big stuff. I mean, no question.
Okay, my friends. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Brad. Dan. Appreciate it.